ideas, many of the ideas you thought about, but just the organization. And then we'll talk about tomorrow's shiur, which is going to be a little of this and a little of that, a little of that, a little of this. Those of you who miss your challenge, so we'll find a little challenge here tomorrow. Okay, so let's review where are we standing. We've managed to build two models of Amira, two basic models of Amira. One model of Amira, which says it isn't a structurally fundamental part of the Maisekicha, its function is merely to display the Das Haba. Here are one Gemara, and of course today's Gemara, which may indicate, certainly Rashi Shita about Sivlonos, and as we'll see in a moment, the Asuk in Yisrael. However, the Gemara engages in a lot of restrictions for Amira. We weren't expecting there to be such restrictions. For example, in the world of Kinyan, there aren't restrictions about the communication. It's just basically trying to decide what the two parties want, what terminologies are accepted on the market. If I say X, what do I mean? Do I mean a donkey? Do I mean the saddle? Okay, it's trying to find the balance between personal communication and generally accepted terminology. Okay, but if there's no formalization, say it this way, say it that way, all of a sudden we have this little island right in the middle of Kiddushin, Hamad Beis of Avim and Aleph, with five sugyos, the famous five, the Fab Five, five sugyos about Amira, Fab Five. You know the famous seven? You know where the famous seven are? Which sefer was named after the famous seven?
Shev Shemaita.
There are seven dinim of trefos in Kulin. It's actually called Shev Shemat, the seven sugyos of trefos that were taught. So when Aryeh Hello, the Kedos HaChoshen, wrote his sefer, he wrote Shev Shemat. He lifted it from Kulin. He wrote seven sharim, seven topics about Chazaka. So maybe you'll write a sefer one day, and you'll call it the Fab, not the Fab Five, but the Chamesh Drashos, or Chamisha Chumshei. That's a good question. What sefer are you going to write, and what are you going to call it? Okay. I have a list of several. I predict I'm not going to write any of them, because I just don't have a minute free, but it's always good to think about, if you were free, what sefer would you want to write? Good question. What sefer could you write? Now let your mind wander. What sefer is necessary to, there used to be in the 80s, you know, the Rothschild Foundation, when one of the Rothschilds passed away, so they left major, major funding for all sorts of social programs and educational programs. It still is the Rothschild Foundation, and I actually have a nephew that works for the Rothschild Foundation. He gives out money, he makes decisions. So there's a Rothschild scholarship in the 80s, and it was a unique scholarship because it was offered to any boy in any yeshiva across the spectrum. You could be in Gush and get it, you could be in Chevron and get it. It was really interesting. And Rav Aaron was on the panel of Rosh Yeshivos that made the decision. It was really, really very impressive Rosh Yeshivos. And several people in the yeshiva got the scholarship. You have to have learned X amount of years. And basically the test was you had to be, he had a fahar of three mesechtos. He had to write like three chiddushei Torah and have an interview in front of all these rabbanim. But people really worked hard for it. And got it was $10,000. Those days was a lot. And one of the questions... I never applied to it. And one of the questions on the interview was, I was told, one of the questions was, what sefer do you want to write? Like, what sefer do you plan to write? And the point they were looking for, that if evidently the Talmud said, I'm going to write a sefer of Kiddushin on Kiddushin. Okay, like, there are hundreds of those. Like, what sefer is necessary? What sefer isn't out there? Like, to write another, you know, parish or nothing if I'm writing? Okay, so it's just something I have to think about. Like, how can you contribute to Torah in ways that haven't been created before? And that's an interesting question. Like, how can you make a change in Torah? What change in Torah will you make? And it doesn't have to be to write a sefer. It could be, you know, I always tell people the most important sefer of the 20th century is Art School, probably. And all the smart in Britain in the 20th century, probably the most impactful one is Art School or Kahati. So those aren't by geniuses who reinvented the wheel. They just translated and made it more accessible to people. Internet makes it more accessible to people. You know, how will you make Torah more accessible? So, anyway, how did we get to this conversation? Anyway, Nasanuma said the Fab Five, five sugyos of Amira. So the drama is, can we make our way through these sugyos while still seeing Amira just as a Das discloser? That was the drama until now. It's going to change today. Drama until now, if it's only Das, who cares who says it? If it's only Das, who cares if you follow the language? If it's only Das, who cares about directionality? If it's only Das, who cares about formal biblical Torah language? That was always the question. And we found ourselves teetering between two approaches, basically. One approach was to say, you know, you're right. Amira is formal. Amir is declarative. Amir is creative. That's why he has to say it. That's why it has to be directional. That's why you need language, not abbreviated language. That's why you need to base yourself on some repertoire of language, Torah's language, common use, not just what people understand. So essentially, we polarized it, Ilan. We said that all these sugyas pressure us into believing that language is not just disclosing das. Or, and this was something that we saw both in a Spaniard in the 14th century and a Polish rabbi in the 19th century, the Rashba and Reb Chaim, that we can still justify some of these formalized halachos, even if it's just das. What was the Rashba's solution? Well, even though they know what they're talking about, Edom don't know what they're talking about. What was Reb Chaim's solution? Even though we know what they want, husband hasn't telegraphed it frontally. What I just said is basically a 5-minute synopsis of these four sugyas. If you know what I just said, you're holding, as they say. Every single detail, but you now know these sugyas globally, not just this sugya, that sugya. You're now able to talk intelligently, quite frankly, very intelligently, because you're not just, here's a sugya, how do I understand the Rashba? What's happening with Amira? I start with a paradigm ribbon. Paradigm gets challenged. I either preserve the paradigm and I just make modifications like Reb Chaim did and the Rashba did, or change the paradigm and I move over to Amira being formal. Okay, now I hope you start to see the power of aggregating sugyas. You're not just learning, it was a new Amira, you're learning, okay, what's the movement? What's happening in all these sugyas? You just want to know it that way. But now you can start to see how we can abstract this and start to move up the pyramid. Well, let's talk about Kiddushin, let's talk about Gittin, let's talk about Hashem. You're not just learning detail. You're starting to build ideas, multiple ideas. Today, we're going to cut against the grain. We're going to go backwards. Okay, try to make some yards in the back end. Too many big defensive tackles. We're trying to run. I got to run the opposite way. Okay, if anyone knows Barry Sanders. Harry Sanders, one of the, not the best. They're always like, run this way, they run the other way, faster than everyone else. So running the other way. Asuki Ba'osa Inyan makes it sound like all you need is das. It's a deformalization. Until now, we've had formula. Oh, it's not just enough to speak. He has to speak. She can't speak. This way, language. Here, it's a cutback. Sounds like you don't have to speak. Doesn't that show that Amir isn't formal? Doesn't that show that the Ramah is right? Doesn't that show that Reb Chaim is right? I guess Reb Chaim is just trying to defend certain Rishonim that hold its thoughts, but doesn't that show? That's what we're trying to solve today. How can we make sense of the allowance of Asugin Bosa Inyan if Amir is part of the Maisa Kicha? Remember the Shita Leno Delami when he rejected Amir as part of the Maisa Kicha? Which Gemara did he quote? Remember when the Bircha Shmuel quoted Reb Chaim asking, why would you need Lashon? After all, Amir is just Giloy Das. Which Gemara did the Bircha Shmuel quote in the name of Reb Chaim? How do we respond to the presumed message that Asugin delivers that you don't really need Amir? That's today's question. Okay, I'm going to give you the simple pshat, obviously. And maybe if we have some time, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, I'll give you more of a nuanced pshat, because there are a lot of, even in Asugin is also, you have two polar approaches, and then you've got some nuanced middle approaches as well. And I always like to give you the polar ones, because again, you're starting out, I would like to be black and white, didactic, obviously. The more that you proceed in halacha, the more nuanced your ideas can become, and the more you can answer specific questions. Okay, but first let's start. Which Rishonim that you saw use a language when they give a pshat, not necessarily an ardaf, that makes us think that Asukin is a form of Amir, however we'll define it. That it's not just Gilui Das, and that even if Amir is necessary, Asukin equals Amir, whatever that means. I don't know what it means, but at least let's try to find if Rishonim agree with what we're saying today. Didi, who are you mentioning now?
The Ritva.
There are two Ritvas. Okay? Now, the first Ritva is interesting. We'll read it together. I'll give you a little background on the Gemara because I want you to learn how to read a Rishon. So today, obviously, I want to give you global skills, but also technical reading Rishonim skills. Okay? What is the Gemara saying, Kiddushin Mem Aleph and Beis? Anyone see the Gemara? Did I give you the Gemara to see inside? Okay, what's the Gemara saying? That Kiddushin and Gerushin are not like Truman and Kachim, and therefore just because Shlichus works by Truman and Kachim, it may not work by Kiddushin for whatever reason, because Truman and Kachim are different, Chum or not, but Yeshnan B'machshav. Very good. Truman and Kachim, you don't need to do anything, say anything. So if a person looks at a heap of grain and says that left part will be Truma, it's Truma. And similarly, by Kachim, a person thinks mentally it should be an Ola, at least by Truma it works. Whereas Kiddushin not. Now what's the Ritva's question on Daf Mem Aleph and Beis? Wait a second, Kiddushin is not B'machshava, you need... He has a case of Kiddushin, which is B'machshava. Which case? Stop. What's the real answer to this question?
You're a mice.
Of course Kiddushin is a... Truman Kachim, you sit there with your hands tied and you do the mental telepathy. Kiddushin, even by a second Bosein, you have to give her kiss, you have to give her star, bia, so it's external, it's extrovert. It's that's the real difference. And that could be what the Ritva means. So there's nothing logically about the Ritva's question or his answer that changes our view that a Sukkim Bosein is just a Das reveal and we all know what they want. What's riveting about the Ritva is not his logic, but his
language.
Okay, always be careful. In a Rishon, you can derive a concept from one or two, generally both, but sometimes one and not the other. Sometimes it's the language, not the logic, as it is here. More often than not, it's the logic, not the language, because Rishon is speaking very generic terms, so they're not going to speak like a Chaim, because they just know it so well. So they just said something, they wonder what they're talking about. But this is rare. It's rare that you have a Rishon that doesn't have to say what he's saying, but it's interesting to hear him say it. Okay, so let's see the Ritva on Daf Mem Aleph from Adbeis. His language is very, very well-known Ritva. How could the Gemara make a split between Gittin and Kiddushin and Truma and Kachim, Truma and Kachim, Yeshu and Machshav, even Kiddushin is Asuk and Balsin. Hasam, here's the line, Kiva de Medaber ima liske gita ve Kiddushta, Kiman de Parishtami. Not only is Kiddushin different from Truman and Kachim in the Mice, it's also different in the Amir, the spoken words. I, Rachamim, you don't have to speak. No, Sigmund Rosin is like talk. How? I don't know, but Kiman de Parishtami. Now, if you can believe it, there's an even more compelling Ritva on Daf Hei Amud Beis. What word does the Ritva use to describe Asukin Bosa'inyan, which is flabbergasting? Why would you even use that word? I said, we know how Asukin Bosa'inyan works. We know what they want without language. What word that refers to language does the Ritva use to describe Asukin Bosa'inyan? Yoda.
Yadayim.
Asukin Bosa'inyan is like abbreviated language. No, it isn't. We know what you want without language. It's context. We give you a nice English word. Contextual indication, contextual framework. We don't need language. It's not abbreviated language. We don't need language. Yadayim is abbreviated language. When it works, when it doesn't work. The Ritva Daf Hei Amud Beis. Again, it's not necessary for his pshat. It's a throw-in. He's trying to talk about Yadayim for a shtar. Well, the Ritva's real punchline is, if the yad is not as indicative, it's a yad she'in mochiach, but the shtar helps the yad become more compelling, can we? It's a nice idea. We talked a little bit about trying to upgrade the level of indication of the yad based on contextual elements, or the yad has to be internal. If we learn more yadayim, we talk about that more lengthily. This is on Daf Mem Daled, Davav Med Aleph. That if you give a woman a shtar, and the shtar is a full language, but you don't say a full language, well, the shtar reinforces or upgrades, augments is a better word, augments the partial language. And he says, Logara mi midaber imal iske gita v'kidusha v'nasan la v'lo perish. We have asukim osenyan, and you have an abbreviated language, nechashvina la yadayim mochichos and mechudeshes. So he doesn't really call asukim osenyan yadayim, but why would you need to build Yadayim when you have a Sukkim Bosa'inyan? Which other Rishon says it? And now it's becoming a little bit more compelling, not just language, but logic. Which region did you see? Translates the word or the concept of Vasugan into a type of language. It's the Ran. If you look at the Ran, again, that Ran on Dav Zayin, we're going to get to Dav Zayin. Remember Dav Zayin, who remembers the case? Woman tells man, give money to my friend and I'll be miskadeshes. Where's the Amira? So there's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Acherim. The Rambam says there was a subsequent Amir of the Baal. After the woman redirected the money delivery, the husband says, okay, the money that I'm going to give to your friend, be miskadeshes. And the Acherim said, basically, you don't need another Amir of the Baal, because unlike Nasan Hu ve'amrahi, this is Amrahi ve'Nasan Hu. And as long as he's the finisher, it's fine. The Ran votes, and now I'm waking you up, the Ran votes, Ran votes, everyone's excited about voting, transience, as opposed to eternity. The Ran votes, eternal votes, like the Rambam, the more important vote. The Rambam, Acherim, who's going to win the election? The Ran says the Rambam will win. Because you need Amira, 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 doesn't care, I don't care, Amira, Amira, Amira. The Ran is Mr. Amira. And Mr. Amira feels cornered by a Sukkin. Well, if you're Mr. Amira, and even if you knew Amira on Dav Zayin, and how do I explain a Sukkin Bosin? So he has a phrase, and there's a little girsa change here, so I'm going to change the girsa. That's what he means. If you look at the Ran says, Vilo Dami, it's on my page, Dav Gimel Amid Aleph, seven lines after it gets wide. Anyone have the Oz V'Hadar equivalent? Vav. Vilo Dami Limidaber Imal Iske Gita V'Kidushah. The Hassam shouldn't be Bishamahu, it's Kishamahu. It's like he spoke, Kishamahu. But it's obviously a Gerson mistake. The Hassam Kishamahu, it's like he spoke. So you have three Rishonim, the Ritva, both on Mimal, Ritva Mimal from base, Ritva Hayim base, and let me get my sheets out, and the Ran, who both say that somehow Asukin can be in lieu of an Amira, like an Amira. The question is, of course, how? Yes, Shai?
If you're saying a bunch of Ritva that, you know, if you redefine Asukin not as context, but as a use of language, and the language that he's telling you about, the Inyani Gitzvi Kedushin, is not the Harat Kedushin language, and therefore that language is not Inyani.
Okay, so that's what we explain the Ritva, correct. Yeah. Correct, it is your.
That's what we're saying.
Right. So, what it seems like is that somehow Asukin Ba'osa Inyan is not just context proves intent. But as Shai is saying, Asukin Ba'osa Inyan is a situation where there is language, but it's not classic language. But you still have language. And since you still have a skeleton of language, you can still call it an Amira, and you can still have a formal Maisa Kicha or Amira as part of the Maisa Kicha. Which two Rishonim come closest to saying, oh no, Asukin Ba'osa Inyan isn't just where we all know what they're talking about or what they intend, but Asukin Ba'osa Inyan is an inferior form of language, but it could still be language eyes. Which two Rishonim? Did he? Mordechai, no. Okay, the Tosas Riazaken, who we now know to be Rabbein Avraham Minahar, and the Miri. What is the scenario of Asukin Ba'osa Inyan according to the Tosas Riazaken and the Miri? Well, what's the normal scenario of Asukin Ba'osa Inyan? They're sitting, talking to the caterer, talking to the Adim, talking to the father-in-law, talking to... What do you have in the Tosas Riazaken or in the Miri?
Well, he says that the Asukin Ba'osa Inyan includes the man says,
Atmi
graciously, then they talk.
But not includes, it's only. Okay?
The Meiri.
The Meiri. And the Tosas Riazaken, look at my hands. Shrinking the set. We thought Asukin was a really broad set of cases. They're going to shrink it to a very, very specific scenario. Essence reflects scope. Why would you be shrinking it? Because they have a very different view of Asukin Ba'osa Inyan. According to the Riazaken and the Meiri, Asukin Ba'osa Inyan is man asking wife do you want to marry me? And wife nodding, saying yes. The gap between Asukin Baos Inyan and real full-fledged Amira is very, very, very narrow. Tirtzi Liskadishli, man tells woman, she says, yeah, I do want to marry you. That's Asukin Baos Inyan. Let's first see it in the Meiri, because it's a little bit clearer. And then we'll see it in the Riyazakin. Then we'll talk about whether this is true. Okay. Let's see, I guess the Meiri I told you. I wrote on your Mar Mekomos. Hayeh medaber imal iske kidushev, v'hi misras etzlo, v'nasala b'fneidin, b'lo shum dibur ba'olam. Line number two. V'dibur shebe iske kidushev, who b'makom harayat mikrudeshesli. Achar shebe shas diburo imal iske kidushev, misras etzlo. V'davarze, skipping out of line six. Daf kabshay masukim binyan akidushin shlo paskom v'daber. Ein zeklum. Okay, the piece I sent you, let me read the piece. I'll read it from my Amir with the piece I gave it to you. Where is it here? Tzarek sh'teda, sh'adibur, this is on your WhatsApp. You need a language, I'll get back to this maybe later. You need directionality. Kigon Shiyomar, Tirtzi Lihos Ishti? Oh, Eza Mishar Lashano Samailim. Man is asking the woman, and woman is accepting. The same is stated in the Tosfos Riyazakin. Let's give us some time to settle in. Riyazakin Davav and Aleph, towards the bottom. Gufa. Haya medaber ima b'mesechas ma'isur sheni perak dalet tanina gav get nami. Afo gav de lo be'inan das dida. Who cares why you have to talk to her? By Gerishin, okay. The Osa Inyan, what does Osa Inyan mean? Let's just talk about Osa Inyan. Should take if Shamrahein, Kalama Shirotza, Liskanish Lo Nasan Lasa Kesef. Kaloma, Meinyan Akidushin Yanacher, Vuma Osa Inyan, Shomelo Tirtzi Liskanish Lo, Vamrahein. Again, without distinguishing right now between Asukin Baos Inyan and Me Inyan Le Inyan Baos Inyan. Namely, according to the Meiri and according to the Tosfos Riyazakin, Asukin Baos Inyan is basically communication. It's not declarative, it's inquisitive. Classic Amir is Harei Mikudeshes. This is, you want to get married? And she says yes. Now, this may also be the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't say that there is a question, but it sounds from the Rambam that there may be an answer from the woman, which makes it sound like there was a question. If you open up the Rambam in Hilchos Ishas Paragimel, what extra words are there in the Rambam that are redundant? Ratzasi. Every Kiddusha needs Dasa Isha. It sounds like, according to the Rambam, here you need some more active, reflective, where she nods her head, not just she's quiet, she doesn't object, because either I'm right. Does the woman have to actively and overtly embrace a question? Now again, it's hard to know where the Rambam means it, but certainly in the Meiri and the Tosfos Riyazakin, if we're trying to rebuild language basically based on conversation rather than declaration, right? I could either say Ari Wise, it's a din in the Chavtza. You say, Ari Wise, it's a din in the chef, and he said, so, I can let you finish. Sometimes we create a declaration jointly. Sometimes it's soliloquy. I say, this is what it is, and sometimes we build together. So there are two ways to create a mirror. One way is for the husband to declare. One way is for them to have a conversation where there's a question and an answer. Still, it's still not just general conversation. What do you think about marriage? What did Shakespeare thing about marriage, where the Rambam thing about marriage, is that we can get there. We'll talk about that a little bit later. It's not a conversation about marriage, as you and I would think, Asukin Bosin, you know, what do you think we'll look like, how many kids you want. But it's not declarative. It's inquisitive with an answer. And certainly in the Meir and the Tazri Azaking, we would want there to be an answer because you're jointly building language, because every question unanswered is pointless. It's only with the question being answered. Now, whether that's what the Rambam meant is anyone's guess. I'm just asking why the Rambam wrote the word Verazis. Yes, Avi?
Where
is it,
like, every time, other time the Gemara uses the word Ratzah, it says that when it says Lo Ratzah, I mean that she just said nothing.
Right, in the Gemara. But why would the Rambam say something that you don't mean? We already know the woman has to agree. There's no Kedusha Malkarcha. That's Parak Aleph.
It says that teaches you that.
Okay, so you think the Rambam is just reciting the Gemara. Okay, so you think the Rambam doesn't hold that. Okay. Now, the question is what conversation help or you need declaration? These we showed, I'm assuming that it would. And we'll talk about what the consequences of that are. Well, we're still making a compromise now, Joe. We're still saying that Amira is part of the Maisekicha, but not a declarative Amira, more a conversationalist Amira. It's still a compromise, but we're still maintaining Amira as part of the Maisekicha. Which Gemara did you see yesterday which may contradict this Mahalich of the Meiri and the Tosfos Riazaken? What? Daftes. Daftes. What's happening on Daftes? Let's learn Daftes together because it's an important Gemara. I wanted to learn it with you already in the beginning of the Sugya when we were talking in general about it. I said, you know what, let me just slipstream it into our Sugya Mosi. What's on Daftes? Ahu gavrat avaka mazvin chumre pasyachta. A man was selling yarn, spools of yarn. Asahi itza, a woman came and said, Amrli, havli chad shucha, I want some yarn. Amar Lai says, oh, you want some yarn? Will you marry me for the yarn? Okay, I want the yarn. Have you. Give it over. I can't live without the yarn. I need my spinner. Can't live without my spinner. About 15 years ago, there was a slinky outbreak in the Bukush basement. I was walking around with a slinky, throwing a slinky. I need my slinky. I need my spinner. I need my yarn. Play around with my yarn. I need my, what do you call it? What?
Fidget spinner.
No, but also the hand. What?
No,
yeah. You know, I can tell you, Shiva Bacher, his whole body goes to pop, but he has triceps like Popeye. All day, all like this. Yeah. Got a fat stomach, not in shape, but it spends all day, you know, with the Popeye. So, back to Jay. Okay, you're like, so how can I have you? I'm a lay. How I'm a chama called have you and have you love club. Doesn't work. Hogaver, second case. A little more. I'm more identified with the second one. Have kashasi chamer b'chanusa drinking some beer. Okay, now we're getting serious. Asahi it's I'm a lay. Have li chad kasag. Before I get over, give me a brisky. Okay, I'm Malay. Yeah, I've been up here. Dashously, if I give you some beer, you'll be my wife. Oh, now we're talking. I can see. Okay, good beer. Okay, I'm Malay. I'm Malay. Ashkin. She said, yeah, give me the beer. I want it. Drink. I'm Rav Chama called Ashki. Ashkin love Klomo. Now, what's the simple pshat of the sugya? Why is there no kiddush in here? Well, we just don't know. She's probably thirsty. You don't want to marry the guy. She's not serious. She's just, you know, I'll be your wife. Give the beer. She's not Das Kiddushin. She's playing him. She's not Das Kiddushin. And just, what does Rashi say? Why does this not work? Lashon Sheila. Because the Kiddushin has to be declarative, not inquisitive. Wow. I don't think the Meiri would agree. I don't think the Tosfos Riazaken would agree. They would say that inquisitive Kiddushin is a Asukin Bosin. It's that other form of Kiddushin, at least according to Rabbi Yossi, that works. We're possibly like Rabbi Yossi. We're assuming Rabbi Yossi now. So this could be the answer we're looking for. Now, the compromise is twofold, both scope and essence. The scope is we're shrinking. We'll see other forms of shrinking. Asukin ba'osa'inyin is only in very, very specific cases. Not a broad sweep, a narrow sweep. And of course now, we're changing, 1 second, Moshe, the role of Amira. Amira, we thought it was the husband going like this, everyone look at me. Oh, establishing a status in the woman. Yivrachach Hashem v'yishmerach Chayah. Giving her the status. Doing the Cohen thing. Can't do it, but I could. Giving her the status of Ishas. Now, it's more of a bi-directional process. Or I want to say bi-directional because the husband is still the asker. But it's not declarative. It's conversationalist. The husband has to start the conversation. The woman has to acquiesce in the conversation. Which is really a fascinating second-level question. How do you create Ishas? I know how I change an animal from being an animal of chulin into an animal that's an ola. I do the thing. I say, you are an ola. I don't say you because it's an animal. But how do I change a woman into being my wife? Do you, you're my wife? Or do you talk to her about being your wife? Now, it's not exactly talk to her about being your wife. That's the more subtle approach. But you ask her to be your wife rather than declaring her as your wife. You can also declare. You don't have to. I mean, when I say ask her, oh, 21st century rabbi, he's such a great rabbi. I mean, you have to ask her. You can also declare, and she agrees. But one way of. Now I'm starting to think about what other sugyos hook into this. If this is our definition of asukin ba'osa inyan, okay, what about the sugya of areini bo'alecha, where the man says, I'm your husband. Why wouldn't that work? After all, if it's not declarative, it's just creating a relationship, then who needs directionality? And then maybe I have to pasul Hareini Yishech based on the fact, not because of the directionality, because if you say Hareini Yishech, maybe you're trying to have yourself acquired and it's not going to work. Can anyone give me a slightly different interpretation of the Meiri that tells us Riyazaken? I took it to a place where creating issues is through a conversation. When the woman says yes, is it because they're having a conversation or is it some other way to have a real amira here? You don't have a different idea? This is what we're trying to accomplish. I still want an amira, but the amira is not going to be ha ha ha, because he's not doing ha ha ha. He's not making a declaration, get his brother dress. He's asking, and she's saying yes, they're having a conversation. You want to get married? Yes. It's a conversationalist creation of vision, which is a novel halachic concept. Would we ever have questions and answers creating a status? But Ishus is a unique status because it's interpersonal. It's two people. It's not an animal. It's not an object. It's not a place. Again, you have to break that terminology. When I say Asukin Bos Inyan, in your mind, you think I'm just talking to the caterer or talking to the friends. As we'll soon see. Asukin Bos Inyan doesn't mean that. Asukin Bos Inyan just means Amira minus. We would call it Amira minus. We would call it inquisitive Amira rather than declarative Amira. Is there another way, like what's happening in this scene where he's asking, she's saying yes? What do you think, Shai?
Maybe it's like the Avraham Avinu game where, you know, we're having an improper form of Amira, and then therefore her hand is a Gilui Das that she says, even though this is not a proper.
But that may be 1,000% true, but then we're out of the second. We're not trying to solve Shai Asukin Bosa Inyan if Amira is just Gilui Das. Because we don't sell anything. Even if she doesn't say hand, if she's just quiet, presumably it would work. We're trying to convert his question and her answer into a formal amira. Follow? If I'll put it on the board for you, just so you should see where we are right now, where we are in the vector of the sugya, structure of the sugya. Can you see what I write here on the board? You can see, right? Okay. I mean, you can see, you can't read it, but... Okay, who's left? Okay. So, is Amira just Gilui Das? Or is Amira part of the Maisa Kiha? Now we have five sugyas, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but let's be done with the Asukin Ba'osein. That just makes a lot of sense. I don't have to do anything. Put a big check. If I hold that Amir is part of the Maisekicha, as we used to say in Brooklyn, you've got some splaining to do. So we're doing the splaining now. So one splaining is that, well, the Amira is part of it, but Lashon She'ela works. And I'll explain, the Lashon She'ela, my Chiddush is conversation. Is there another way to understand Lashon She'ela? If you don't have it, I'm not going to tell it. I want to see if you're thinking about it differently. This is your time to shine. What do you think, Ephraim?
Perhaps because the conversation has no inherent value, and the only
has
thing, no inherent value, the only thing that makes it valuable is the maisa and the sina that the husband does afterward. Therefore, the husband's maisa and sina means that the husband is formalizing the entire conversation, and immediately the entire thing becomes his amira.
So where's the amira?
The amira is the conversation once it's been given chashivas by the husband's and sina.
So you're saying the same thing I'm saying, conversation.
Not really, because I'm not saying that Lashon She'ela counts as an amira. I'm saying that when the husband says, okay, all of these contexts that we're talking about, I'm now making it a formal declaration.
So you're saying it's declaration. It's declarative, but the declaration isn't his grammar. The declaration is the entire process.
Yeah.
And it's seen after. Okay, so you are changing. It's not, you use the word conversation, so I change it. It's declaration, but the declaration is only happens within a scene. You know what you're getting close to. Well, if Nisina can be a declaration, a nonverbal declaration, and even if I don't hold like the Tosfos are Yosakei, why can't the Nisina be a form of communication? I need communication, but Nisina can both be Nisina and communication. This is the next step
except
over.
There's no
deal. Okay.
I
didn't
follow
the deal
with
that.
If you do need a
Sukkot, so. Didi, what were you going to say? There are three or four varieties. Yeah, I'm not. Correct. Didi, what would you say?
I was thinking maybe we still say that Sukkot not to formal declaration is his formal declaration, but because it doesn't fit our other, not like I have a kedusha, her hang kind of maybe just solidifies it.
Right. So you're trying to say that an answer is not always an answer. An answer can change the tone of a statement. It's another way that the hang here, a little bit like the Vilna Gaon, a little bit like Yadai and the Nazir, that her response or the rasasi, the active response rather than the quiet acquiescence, can create a declaration. Okay. So these are three or four other, what you're each saying is correct. We have to then prove, well, can we find a sheet that proves that it's not? Okay, so, but what are the nafkaminas? Let's now take a step back. What are the nafkaminas as to whether a sugim bo'sein is just gilei das, a sugim bo'sein is some form of amir? Whether it's the way I described it, turning amir into conversation, whether it's the way Ephraim and Didi described it, there's some declaration, even though, what are some of the nafkaminas? So far we talked about possibly shrinking like the Tosfos Ari Yosakei, like the Meiri, if they actually talk to the woman, inquisitively. By the by, we saw a second nafkamina. Not just you have to talk rather than just silent context, but you have to talk in a language that would work if you would say it in a declarative way. Let's read that Meiri again. The second Meiri on the WhatsApp. Sarech Shateda Shadibor Ve'iske Kibusha Sarech Shiheba Lashon She'ilu Hayakayotzibo Bekidushin Yemo. Inquisitive language, and it had it been declarative, it would have worked. Kigom, Tirtzi Leos Ishti. But if you say, Tirtzi, that I should be your husband, it wouldn't work. You can't say, do you want me to be your husband? You say, do you want to be my wife? You have to have a question that can be reformulated as a Maisa Amira rather than do it. Shai, if I see what I was saying, it was just trying to show what their das is. Who cares who says what to whom? If I say, I want to be my husband, I want to be your husband, and she says yes, then lechara, it should work. So the first nafkamina is, do you need language or even contextual silence or contextual, sort of a contextual evidence? Number two is, do you need a language that would otherwise work? What issue comes up, Didi, in the Mordechai and in the Mishnah Melech? It's probably the most intriguing issue is Moshe.
What if you're not talking to her?
What if you're not talking to her? What if you're talking, but you're talking to your friends, you're talking to the Aiden, you're talking to a Shliach, and by talking to a Shliach, it's pretty clear. So this is a question that Mordechai raises in some Taf Ayin Zayin. What does the Mordechai say? Who knows what the Mordechai says?
Definitely.
Works, doesn't work?
Works.
Okay. Who disagrees with the Mordechai? Mishnah Melech quotes Rishon. See, the Mishnah Melech is he quotes the Maariv, as I said. Who wrote the Mishnah Melech? Anyone know? Where did he live? Who was he? Okay, 1700s. Actually, not clear. About 1700.
Istanbul.
Lived in
Istanbul,
Istanbul, Turkey. Rav Rosinus. What other svarim did he write? He wrote two lesser known svarim, but really riveting. One sefer in the Sefer Mitzvah is called Derech Mitzvah Zecha. And one sefer of a sort of thing is called Parashas Derachim. It's quoted here and there. But if you're looking for a Rishon, an Achron, pre-Brisk, it doesn't just think in Brisket terminology, but structures in Brisket terminology, it's the Mishnah Lamelech. Mishnah Lamelech is incredible. Really, really incredible. Who was I talking to? Yeah, I got very jealous. I was talking to someone over the summer, like so. I think we have a Blachman, who I was talking to. He told me, oh, he's a lot of time on his hands. He's learning the end of the first parak of Kiddushin. The end of the first parak of Kiddushin, Tez Zayin, talks about Dine Evet Ivri, Evet Kanani, which we never get to because we teach you till Ches Tes Yud, and then, you know, the year's over, we go to the second parak. There's really, really deep ideas about Evet Kanani and Evet Ivri. And if you open up the Rambam, Hilchos Avadim, there's huge, huge tracks of Mishnah Lamelech. I mean, it's anomalous. Mishnah Lamelech is very terse here or there, and then all of some reason, I don't know why, when he wrote about Avadim, he just, and you should see that I once went through a lot of them, just reading, and just you see the sugya unfolding, like, whoever was starting this, as they're going through, and it's, oh, you're going to throw the Mishnah Lamelech, and he started laughing, like, only a Lamdan would know that, oh, I have to go through the Mishnah Lamelech, and Hilchos Avadim. Huge, huge tracks in Hilchos Avadim. He also wrote, interestingly enough, Ha'aros and the Minchas Chinuch. Every once in a while, you'll find someone that will quote Ha'aro, the Mishnah Lamelech, Minchas Chinuch. Anyway, he's also well known for staunchly opposing. You're living in 1700s, you have to vote. Who do you vote about? If you're living in Turkey in 1700, what's the big vote? Do you support Shabtai Tzvi? Or you oppose the Shabtai Tzvi? And it was a pretty deadlocked vote. Believe it or not, pretty deadlocked vote. So he actually was opposed staunchly to the Shabtai Tzvi, and he, in hindsight, 2020 hindsight, and he wrote a cherem against all Shabtai Tzvi nicks and against, who are the Shabtai Tzvi's PR agent? Natan Avaza. Natan Azati is a good PR guy, so he wrote a big cherem against him. So he was on the right side of history, very, very staunchly opposed to the Shabtai Tzvi. Okay, so the Mishnah Lamelech and Hilchos Ishus, Perek Gimel, like the Kesef of Mishnah, Lacha Mishnah, are just citing where the Gemara comes in, asking a question, you know, giving Okimtas or giving a sin. The Mishnah Lamelech is really developing because he's quoting a lot of the. He was a banker, by the way. Mishnah Lamelech was a banker. Who was a famous banker in the 20th century? Gandhi was a banker. I think he was a bank teller. I think. Yes. Yeah, so I don't think the Mishnah was a bank teller. You know, stick him up, you know, with the Jimmy Carter mask. I think he was like a banker, like he loaned money. not too far off. But yes.
Are there any other famous
Achronim
who did support Chabad?
Yes, there was one Rav, I forget his name, there was one Rav in Turkey, who actually became, I mentioned him earlier this year, my mind, a mental block now. Who was it? Anyway, yes, 50% of Amisrael with their rabbanim, Shabbat Shabbat. But it was like one story where the Shabbat Tzvi guys came into Turkey, into the shul, took over the shul, and the Rav supported them. But he was a big Talmud Chacham, but he supported them. And then, like, they finally got the Shabtai Tzvi's out 20 years later. So, you know, I'm on the other side. Like, basically, it's which side? You know, we'll forget it. What happened in Turkey stays in Turkey, you know? We'll just move on. Read the history books. It's, like, incredibly interesting stories because people really took them seriously. It wasn't just a fluke. I mean, people really sold off their possessions, moved to Eretz Yisrael. This wasn't, a marginal movement. We look back and we just trivialize it, and it tore apart Judaism for about 100 years. I mean, for some reason, most of the controversy migrated back from Turkey to Germany. For whatever reason, Germany became ground zero. I mean, you couldn't breathe in Germany in the 18th century because it was all about Shabtai Tzvi, you know, all about Torah Amada, yes, and Torah Amada, no. Guys, these things come and these things go. I mean, I'm not equating the two, but just, you know, keep your eye on the ball. This is the ball. Torah, your Hashemayim, mitzvahs, tefillah, chesed, mitzvahs, everything else, they come and they go, they come and they go, and Haredim come and they go. And, you know, it's all just, you know, which time you live in, what's happening in that time, eternity, and everything else around you. Okay, so just really keep your eye on the ball. And Hashem's not going to ask you to get the Shemayim. One thing I promise you, I don't know what he's going to ask you, but this is not going to be on the final quiz. So Yutatilo Mio Charedi, that's not on the final quiz. Which kippah did you wear? That's not on the final quiz. Did you support Torah Mada? That's not on the final quiz. What is on the final quiz? I can tell you. Something to do with how much Torah you learned, how much Yerusha, something around there. Anyway, so the Mishnah of Melech Ishus, Perek Gimel, Halacha Ches. Yeah. He says, this is actually in Zion or Vav. Mine is a little bit torn here, but I think it's Zion right before Ches. Okay, so that question is the third nafkamina as to how I understand Hasidic. Nafkamina number one, do you need language? Nafkamina number two, do you need language that would otherwise work? Nafkamina number three, to speak to the woman. So you see how the second approach, Shaya, is shrinking the scope of Hasidic. You need to speak to the woman in language that would work. And to her, of course, you don't have to declare. Hasidic Hasidic is a really, really small chiddush, according to the second approach. Take Ephraim's ideas and Didi's ideas, it's less limited. You can have a broader scope. Okay, what's another nafkamina we talked about? Who remembers the Rush and the Rashba? Okay, let's broaden it. What if you're talking about something that's only very vaguely related rather than directly related? So where does that come up? But I forgot how much I gave you in the sugya. Did I give you only to the kids? Bottom two dots? Okay, so anyway, let's read the Gemara. The Gemara in Daf Vav after it quotes Asukin in our context, the Gemara says, Gufa, Himidabra Misha Liske Gita Vikidushev, and Asan La Gita Vikidushev, Lapirish, original Mishnah, Naisashani, Ibiosia Mordai, Rabbi Mitzach Lefarish. Shmuel and Aboshia Paskin like Rabbi Yossi. It sounds like I'm Rabbi Yossi. Shmuel who's Hasikin Bosainian, Chenim Rabbi Yossi who's Hasikin Bosainian. Kitanoi. Again, I'm reading the Gemara according to the Iter. The Rashba is a slightly different way of reading this, but this is the simple way of reading the Gemara. Shmuel and Aboshia Paskin like Rabbi Yossi. You don't have to say it clearly. Rabbi Yossi says you have to say it clearly, but you still need Hasikin Bosainian. Oh, you need Hasikin Bosainian. It happens to be that there's a Tosefta in how much Asukin you need. Okay, Lema Kitanoi, Rabbi Omer Husha Sukin Bosa Inyan, Rabbi Lezer, Rishon Omer Afapisha Ena Sukin Bosa Inyan. If you love that Sukin Bosa Inyan, Yadam Akamale, Amrabaye, Me Inyan, Le Inyan, Beosa Inyan. Namely, this is the Iter's way of reading, the Rashba quotes the Iter. Rabbi Huda needs full Amira, he's not into Sukin Bosa Inyan. Rabbi Yossi, who we Paskin like, he says Sukin Bosa Inyan is enough. Shmuel and Rabboshi are Paskin like Rabbi Yossi. However, there is a Tosefta in which the Tanaim said, even if I paskin like Rabbi Yossi that Asukin's enough, do you need Asukin ba'osa inyan? Or you need even me'inyan le'inyan ba'osa inyan. And what's me'inyan le'inyan ba'osa inyan? So if you take a look at Rashi, let's see if start with the Me'iri. So what did you see in the Me'iri? What's me'inyan le'inyan ba'osa inyan?
You're talking about stuff with per, and you haven't moved on to other people. I was talking about Kiddushin, then you went from Kiddushin to, you know, the caterers and the Eden, whatever, but you're not talking about your friends down the street who also getting married.
So the Miri quotes two deaths. You saw the two deaths in the Miri. What's the difference between me? Who can capture the difference between me, Inyan, Le Inyan, Ba'osa Inyan? And Ba'osa Inyan, or I'll say it differently. Ba'osa Inyan or Me'inyan Le'inyan. Point to that. Let's read me together. I see a lot of people didn't see the mirror. Let's read the mirror. It's on your front. It's on your notes. V'davar zeh, it's on the piece I gave you. Dav kabashem asukin b'inyan akidushin. Shelo paskul min adaber binyan akidushin. Avalim paskul min adaber binyan akidushin. Afilu aysam mishudechas lami kodem. Afilu nis askul minyan nosa inyan tzarech abayis. Heichat no heges melechas abayis. Ein zeklo. So according to the Miri, what's the difference between ba'osa inyan and me'inyan le'inyan ba'osa inyan? Who can capture it?
And then the other aspects of marriage would be
main and expressive. That wouldn't work. That's main and main bosa. So what do you need for asuka bosa inyan?
Just kiddushin.
Immediacy. You need to deliver immediately after the kiddushin, rather than going off into some about your marriage. Then he says, in mekom makom yesh mefarshim, shekol shemedabrim beinyan habayis v'tzarchei azivug, osa inyan batzmo. Even if you don't have a straight language of kiddushin and then right away a kiddushin, as long as you're still talking about your marriage, not your wedding, basically your wedding or your marriage, talking about your marriage, it's still osa inyan. You're just talking about marriage in general, not your marriage. That's called. So what do we have? We have a machlokes tanoim. According to one Tana, according to Rebbe, you need asukim b'oseinyan, and two deis in the Meiri about what asukim b'oseinyan is. Only talking about the marriage. Sorry, the wedding, or even talking about your marriage. Is that a sukkah b'osin? According to the first Pshat Miri, you have to talk about the marriage. Sorry, the wedding, not the marriage. According to the same Pshat Miri, you can even talk about the marriage as long as you talk about your marriage. Is this these two deos reflective of our question? But if you need a sukkah b'osin to be a form of amira, either by asking the woman or some other form of nonverbal amira, then the discussion has to be about the wedding. But if asukim b'oseinyan is just gilui das, then it can just be even about your marriage, as long as it's about your marriage, not about someone else. If you're talking about someone else's marriage, who knows what you mean? Now keep in mind that these are two ways to explain Shitas Rebbe. Shai, when we get to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, is it Reb Shimon ben Elazar or Reb Shimon ben Reb Shimon, we get to Elazar Reb Shimon, he holds Afilu me'inyan le'inyan ba'osa inyan, and according to one Dan the Miri, Afilu me'inyan le'inyan ba'osa inyan, that's someone else's marriage, so it's likely that Reb Elazar Reb Shimon holds that the role of Amira is purely das. Because he has such a pared down view. If you take the most extreme sheet in the Sugya, is Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, Me'in le'in b'oseinyan, according to the Miri. Second day of the Miri. Where you can even be talking about your friend's marriage or wedding, it's hard to know, and that still works because the fact that I'm talking about getting married indicates that I want to get married. Again, depending on how I'm talking about, oh, Ilan, did you see they just got married? How great it is. I wish we could. That'd be great. And that'd be a dream. And then you give her some money, so that's not an Amira, because you're not talking to her, you're not even talking about her, but you're displaying your interest by talking about someone else's wedding in a very, very admiring fashion. As opposed to saying, oh, you hear another one bites the dust. Another one got one. You say it in a nice way, a way that shows that you probably want to get married. That question about how general does the context have to be is also debated between the Rosh and the Rashba and Daf Nun. Also cited by the Mishnah. What's the question that came up between the Rashba and the Rush? What a conversation about what? We talked about wedding, marriage, your marriage going forward. What other question comes up about a single Mosinian? What about a preliminary stage, talking about not the wedding or the marriage, but about the shiduchim, about the financial arrangements? And this, of course, comes up in the context of Rashi. Rashi says Sivonos or Kiddushin. And the Rosh rejects Rashi. The Rosh, of course, agrees with Tosfos. Let's see the Rosh in Siman Chaf. V'yaf olgav dinasin lastam, and it was already Shiduchim. Lo v'kiddushin alim kin dibu matchilas ke'kiddushin. So the Rosh rejects Rashi. The Rashba on Daf Nun, it seems to be paralleled by Chivas Rashba. Tries to defend Rashi. How could she be miskadeshes without an amira? B'shema nomar kivon deshidich. Since right before the Sivlonos, presumably a minute before, it can't be months before, but a minute before, since there were shiduchim, which in those days were financial commitments of both sides of the family. By the way, what are we still up today that reflects real shiduchim? No. This is what's called tanayim. So in America, the minhag is to do tanayim, even though, again, in our circles, again, the tanayim really don't have much content to them. The shiduchim basically was when marriages used to be less romantic and more fusion, unifying two families, creating some financial vehicle called another family. Right? That was family oriented. We need to create the next family. Father sits down, father of the chasen, father of the kala, how much will you give, how much will you give, so that this can now be a family that's stable and can have children and move on to the next generation. So there was a strong element that was financial. Of course, at the heart of it was the dowry. The father of the daughter pay the dowry to the husband. Now, not a dowry. Again, in today's world, it's become so assumed that father supporting chasen is because he's learning. You know, Baruch Hashem, in our world, there's a lot of learning going on at this stage in history. A lot of people don't have to work and they have the luxury to learn. But throughout history, it just meant you found someone. Again, the exceptional people were supported in learning. The rabbanim, the people who were on that track. But every person that got married, again, they were supported by the father, they were supported by the dowry. So, in that case, the two sides would meet, and they would create these type of commitments in the Gemara, in Ksuvos, that we, Gemara Kiddushin quotes, Kuf Aleph in Ksuvos, but here it's Daf Nun, talks about the Inina Maisa Kinyan, or just the word of the fathers is enough, Hein Hein Dvar Menikni Mamira, that was called Shiduchim. Today, at least in our world, we don't really create financial obligations. Obviously, both sides sit together, they pledge to help, they're going to try to help, but it's not like we contract it in. I think in Haredi circles, as far as I can tell, certainly in the real Israeli Haredi world, these are still very, very much financial transactions, and I think there are contracts that are signed, and how much each is going to give. It's a fascinating sociological, because you've got multiple generations of people that aren't gainfully employed, and I have relatives, and they're just rolling over debt, basically, to create... I don't know how it happens, and like I'm the financial advisor. But basically, there are single grandparents that are supporting 10, 12 children, and every girl that gets married, there's like a price tag. If your chassan's from Hebron, it's going to cost you 500,000 shekel. If your chassan's from the Panavish, and again, it seems odd to us, and for many people it is odd, but in this world it works, and... You know, I don't know how the financial vehicles work. I'm sure there's some very, very creative ways to roll over debt and to create, you know, debt upon debt. But it's still true in many, many circles. Like I have very, very classic Haredi cousins who got married this way, and then I have a brother-in-law who's, you know, more yeshivish, and you know, he says he doesn't want to. He wants his son to go out of regulating. He's dafka on the receiving end. His son can get a lot of money. He's Baruch Hashem, it's a big talmid chacham, but he says, I just want my son to meet a woman and get married, and you know, he's probably going to step in. So in our world, the tanayim don't really carry. It's not like we're sitting. I'm assuming even in the Haredi world, all these contracts have been signed. You're not going to sign the contract at the wedding. So when we make tanayim before the ksuva, it's basically a photo op. It's a chance for the two mothers to break the plate, everyone to the mazel tov and the camera, and everyone to make a big, big deal. It's not real. In America, they do it. In Eretz Yisrael, the minhag is not to do it. And Moshe said, you should do it. I think the minhag is like, Moshe, there's something in my mind that he has to treat about it. It's nice. It's nice to give extra kibbutim. It's nice to give kibbutim to the great uncle who, you know, traveled 4 hours to come to the wedding. And you know, you're not going to have him read the ksuba, but you want to have some kibbutim in front of the camera. So just so you should know, when they're tanayim, this is the last vestige of what used to be called shiduchim. Shiduchim, what we call shiduchim, it's going out and finding, you know, Sari Rat Sinai, whatever. Shiduchim used to be a real halachic activity. So the Rashba says, Shkivan de Shidech, you actually sat there, two fathers signing contracts. Kimidaber imal iske kidushadami, vidashne and mekach, vegam haidim datim mekach. Of course, this is a famous Rashba that you need eidim. And this Rashba is once again vocalized by the Mishnah Lamach. If you look at the Mishnah Lamach, Paragimel, the second piece, Halacha Ches, on the Inyan Im Shiduchim,
Mikri have midaber ima liske kibushem magun limhadabar naim achivas marikshar shkufayin aleph. The meosa chuva shala rashba mashma the lo mikri shiduchim daber ima. So that sounds against our rashba, the shiduchim is not a singing baos enyan. Achwa isi chuva suba chuva sarashba. Mishmanov says, I actually looked up the chuva sarashba and it sounds like mashma that he only rejects it for technical reasons, not for fundamental reasons. So again, if a sugim b'osinian is just gilei das, then obviously shiduchim would be sufficient. If a sugim b'osinian is trying to create some form of amira, it'd be less likely that shiduchim. So the Gemara talks about not preliminary stages, but even at the time of the marriage, the time of the wedding, what are you talking about? You're talking about the marriage or the wedding. The Mishnah Melech and the Rashba, and to a degree the Marik, they're talking about whether earlier stages can serve as a sugim b'osinian. Okay, let's stop here, and I'll share with you what to do over the next 2.5 hours, but I think there's a lot of options, okay? I still want to mention one or two ideas of a sugim b'osinian. We'll see, maybe. Let's work backwards. On Wednesday, Emir Tashem, Peshat Tov and Mitzlachas, we're going to start the next sugya on Dav Vav Beis. And that sugya, Vav Beis, is going to launch... You know, a blot and a half, pretty much. A blot and a half of conversation about kesef. So now that we've studied Amira, what type of kesef must you use? It's a blot and a half. Okay, different forms of kesef. It's going to be about Tildaf Ches Amid Aleph. Even more. Manazu, Mashkon. Let's call it even two blot. And talk about Nesina afterwards. An even two blot of kesef. It take us about a good month to deal with that. This took us about 2 weeks. Amira Kesef is going to take us about a month to unfold. Arev, Evet Kanani, Adam Chashev, Milva, Mashkon, Hanas Kesef. About a month, all those sugyas. The first sugya is right to the fire, Dav Vavim and Beis, right to the fire, Amar Abaye, Mekadesh, Milva. Not a lot of Gemara, but a lot of Rishonim. Can't be Mekadosh a woman by excusing a debt that she owes you, but you can be Mekadosh a woman by giving her a peripheral hanah from the debt that she owes you. We'll see what all that means in Mitzvah Shem. Now, the intervening Gemara from the two dots on the bottom of Davav until Abaye on Vav and Beis is all about Loshonos of Gerushin. Remember, man tells the woman, Harei La'atzmeich, Loshon that works by Yeshivcha. It was an important Gemara for Kiddushin because we had a line there that Isha lo kani lagufa, if you remember. Well, just to review that line, it sounded like you don't really have a kinyan on the gufa Isha. We talked about this Gemara earlier in the year. But we're not going to go through this Gemara Be'in, obviously. So I would like everyone to take a few minutes today, as long as it takes you, just to read the Gemara to get to the two dots so that we can start with a fresh slate. I thought about jumping tomorrow already to Abai, just thought there's too much I want to settle then. So we're going to start Abai on Wednesday, Mirtz Hashem, New Makaros, Milva, and Anas Milva. So the first thing that I want everyone to do is just to read the Gemara. Just again, I don't like jumping around. Less jumping, I promise you, than in Elo. There's a little bit of a jump, but I just want to make sure we see the Gemara. In terms of what else to do, what I'll talk about tomorrow, there are two options. One option is, and I recommend this, I think it's a nice idea, open up the Shulchan Aruch in Chav Zayin in Ebenezer and read the first 9 Seifim of Chav Zayin. Because you know more or less 90% of the halachos that are coming up. And just learn the world of the Shulchan Aruch, like how do we paskin, what's the psak halacha. I'm not going to give you, see this, Beishim, I mean, I'll try to give you one or two, but just look at the Beis Shmuel, look at the Chalakas Mechokek. These are the Mefarshei Shulchan Aruch on the side. Just to get from, like, normally, you very rarely have 5 sugyas that you've learned that are all condensed into 6 or 7 Sefim in Shulchan Aruch. Normally, a sugya here, you look here in Shulchan Aruch. Here, it's not going to happen too often. It happened a little bit by Kesef also, where you can just, like, open up Chav Zayin, read Sif Aleph Beis Gimel Dalin, basically you're reviewing everything we've learned over the last week and a half, 2 weeks. And then just get familiar. Look at Chalkas Mechokei. Beis Shmuel is easier to read. There's a sefer called the Pischei Tshuva, which collects a lot of Shailos V'Tshuvos. See if you can see some of the Tshuvos inside. I'd like you to get a little bit of a taste of Halacha L'maisa. Again, these are not, no one's going to marry with the Yadayim, no one's going to marry with Nasan Uvam Rahi. It's just, but, you know, where the halachos come from. And then, if I'll give you a few makaros, because even in our sugya, there is a part of the sugya we didn't really talk about, because Asukin Ba'osa Inyan comes up as an aside. Well, if you use these crazy lashonos, Salasi, Ezrasi, Nagdasi, I said, well, how does she know what you're talking about? I mean, Nayada Asukin Ba'osa Inyan. So, and then one says, well, if you have Asukin Ba'osa Inyan, then who cares what the language is? And maybe the language ruins Asukin Ba'osa Inyan. So, we'll talk a little bit about that, how much, let's say they both agree to use strange language, let's say he agrees that that's what it meant. There's some reason to talk about it here. There's a lot of important information about Kiddushin, but I just don't want to get bogged down in the sugya. So I'll give you some makaros on the sugya, Mitzvashim, now. I will go to the base Medashim Davav. But this should be the trail. Start with learning the Gemara. Learn the Shulchan Aruch. And if you have about an hour left, I'll have a few short makaros on some of the topics of the Gemara Davav. But I'll talk a little bit about the Gemara Davav, a little bit about the Shulchan Aruch, Mitzvashim, tomorrow. And then Wednesday we'll start the new sugya. Sally. There is a shir klali tomorrow. I would like you to prepare it. What's the topic of the shir klali? Was it posted anywhere?